dark down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it all. I've observed your latest habits and your random dancing patterns, and I've learned you're not but a nice guy. And you're full of this deception, it's your stupid salad, but then when your bones are cool and die. This little birdie told me who was talking to a fly.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network calling. Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger in the heartland, in the bunker right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to drink and sometimes eat. Yes, right behind our weapons of mass destruction surplus yard, where we refinish, refurbish, bondo up all this kind of, all these weapons of mass destruction and resell them at good prices. Good prices to you. The date is November the 27th, 2009, the day after Gobble 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 Day. And I hope you thanked your ancestors for your great genetics, your great genetic history. Thank your mom and dad. Thank your kids. And thank your people. And most of all, thank yourself. for staying alive in this zoo that we now face in the United States. Yeah, right. And throughout the world, actually. We are at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. You can send your mail to either Boxholder or Tom Metzger or The Insurgent, whatever yanks your crank. And then you get on the phone and call us at 574-267-5036. Almost couldn't remember my own phone number there. How about that? So anyhow, that's the way to get in touch with us. And you may hear in the background a little bit of audio running off our recordings of the Insurgent Radio. Well, what we've done in cooperation with podblank.com and Craig Cobb's genius up wherever he's at, you know, and now we're on the radio there, podblank.com, and we're going to run 24 hours of archived radio shows. Yeah. And we're going to be running soundtracks from our TV shows, our radio shows from our archives at resist.com, and a lot of other interesting material, and we're just going to keep it running. And so we'll be running now at least for 24 hours as an experiment. Call all your friends, tell them to tune it in, and they're going to get an earful. If they don't get themselves offended the first time round, well, tune back in. We'll figure a way of offending them and go from there. That's true. So as of 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on November 27th, we started our 24-hour Insurgent Radio Marathon. So get up there and listen. How about that? Well, let's get into our emails. We've got a lot of them. We always do here in the bunker. Dear Tom, somebody wrote you and said they didn't have much cash and wondered about sending cash money to Matt Hale for his defense fund, if it was worthwhile or not, because Matt Hale embraced above-ground organizing instead of small cell lone wolf and leaderless resistance. This guy went on to say his contribution was contingent on whether Matt Hale was going to change his tactics once he got out. Tom, that really shouldn't have any bearing on contributing. The fact is, even though as a creator, Matt Hale doesn't believe in hell, he has already served his time in hell for being in Zog's gulag. He has been incarcerated not because of such stupidity as painting a swastika on a synagogue or beating down a street nigger. He is doing time because he was set up, plain and simple. He has always been a loyal comrade and a stalwart worker for the white race. In my opinion, we have to look at this issue from that perspective. We can deal with means and modes once he gets out. For the moment, we can agree to disagree about tactics, ideology, and so on. The important thing is if he indeed has a viable chance of getting out from behind the wire, we ought to all support him. Well, I tend to agree with that. Yeah, we support him not for what he may do in the future, but for what he has done in the past, period. That's a contribution. Signed, my two pennies. Yeah, well, anyhow, that's good thinking. Yeah, let's first get him out, and then we'll work on whether he's going to operate in the same way he operated before. And so I would tend to go along with that. Matt has tried to do a good thing around the country, and he's been honorable with me. And so I tend to say, yeah, we should support him and get him out, and then we'll try to change his mind on his operation. Tom, you said on your radio show somebody sent Ghost Wolf Radio Man a recording machine to make his show sound better. I want one. What's the brand name? Price, if you know, and so on, so that I can pick this item up. Well, it sort of depends on your situation. I mean, if you have a situation where you can buy a regular deck recorder and record on audio tape in your home, that's good, and you could send me the audio tapes, And, you know, if you get 120-minute tapes, they're not that easy to get anymore, but even if you had to use 90-minute tapes, you can put whatever you want on there, send it to me. The reason we sent this small one to Ghost Wolf is because he's on the move a lot, and he travels very light. So we recommend for that, and we recommend everybody have these around. You can use it for your security or anything. These are like these little Sony mini digital recorders, portable. I've got one here in my hand that's a, I can't hardly see. Wait, I need my glasses. Just a second here. It's, stick it in your pocket and you hide it anywhere. And this one's a ICD-B600. I like the Sony, and I think I've got another one here. I got two of them in my pocket right now, I think. No, I guess that other one. I got three or four of them laying around. But anyhow, I think Minolta makes them. You can get them at Radio Shack, or you can get them at Walmart. Pardon me for saying Walmart. But and they'll record as long as you want. I mean, you know, hours and hours, hundreds of hours of recording. And you can plug a mic into them, or you can use the mic that's internal. And one thing these are good about, if any kind of law enforcement comes around your place, one of these things are only about half an inch thick, and they're about 4 inches long and about a little over an inch wide. You just turn that sucker on and stick it in a bookcase someplace where they can't see it, and you can record everything they say while they're in your house. And I've got a little problem here. Somebody's coming on and off here. Anyhow, back to what I was saying, these small tape recorders will work for about anything, but when you make a recording for, the insurgent radio show, you got to remember, don't speak too closely to them. You should have your mouth back about 6 or 8 inches when you record something. Just set it in front of you, or if you plug a microphone in, which I don't see any good reason to do, but you can plug a microphone in, but keep it 6 or 8 inches at least back from you when you record something. Then what you can do, like I've done with Wolf Radio, is you can send me the little tape recorder, the little digital recorder, right in the mail in a little padded box, and then I can take it right off there and put it on MP3 file and put it out. And then I send it right back to you. And that's a very convenient way of doing things, too. Or you can just go down to the Goodwill and find a deck, a cassette deck, and get a microphone. They may not have a built-in microphone. Or even these portables that are around that are pretty cheap. You can find them used or new pretty cheap, with a built-in microphone, and record to a cassette, and then send me the cassette, and we'll go from there. So it's quite simple. It's interesting that during this last raid on my bunker, I had a couple of these little digital tapes stashed around. I turned them on. I got some interesting conversation while I was... My lady and I went out to eat while they were rummaging through my house, but little did they know. Oh, those little tape recorders, those real small ones, digital ones that'll record for 100 hours probably, they run you only about $30 now. I mean, $29.95. Those Jewish numbers, I love them. $29.99, $28.88. Well, anyhow, they're pretty cheap. And you can get some that you can plug right into a computer and make an MP3 file direct. But you don't really need anything fancy. $30-$40 and you're on your way. And then if you go to garage sales and stuff, you can find a lot of these pocket recorders selling for $10 or less. And once in a while you find one of these digital ones laying around, but usually not at garage sales. But Another thing is these pocket radios that have the mini or the micro cassettes in them. They're good, and you can put a 90-minute tape in, 45 minutes on each side. You can record your show on those, and or your comments for Insurgent Radio, and send them to me. Just send me the little micro cassette, and that's all you really need. And those you can find used all over the place, or even new. They're only about $29 too. So there you go. You got several options. Dear Tommy, racist journalists lack real life experience. I blew my stack after reading a headline over at Natal News. Every time white people are killed or beaten by Negroes, racist websites holler victim. Sissy journalism. Are all the white people across the country victims or just plain chicken shit? Are they fighting back? That sounds hard, but I have to go with my life experiences. During the federal civil rights campaign against the South, I was in high school. Shortly after Negroes were transferred to our schools, they rose up to challenge us in 68. It didn't take the cabbage niggers long to find out that we were what we were made of. They never won one fight. We whipped them in the halls, in the restrooms, in the showers, in the cafeterias, Friday night football games, wherever. We put them down in about 3 weeks, and they never surfaced again. The school faculty and people in town looked the other way so as not to interrupt the tempo. I saw David Allan Coe at a dance hall in Texas in the 70s. He walked on stage and said, "I'm going to start the show. If you don't want to listen, fuck you. I feel the same way. If you don't want to fight them, fuck you." I like to remind everybody that this global warming stuff is bullshit. It's a total fraud. And anytime anything the government supports nowadays, the criminal government, you can figure the real answer is just the opposite. I can't think of anything the government doesn't lie about. And the biggest lie they've got now is this global warming. And Obama's trying to get this Copenhagen Treaty through. And if he gets it through, I don't know, it may be good because it's going to cause so much crap and so screw the United States that people will be forced in some kind of internal warfare to stay alive. I don't know. But for sure, tell anybody who believes in global warming you're full of shit. Hey, Tommy, that conservative talk show asshole's host name is Hannity, not Hannaby. But either way, he's still a phony a-hole. Yeah, sometimes I get these names wrong, but I apologize to Mr. Hannity, not Hannaby. Okay. I just hope he takes a long walk off a short pier. Well, I see the Globe newspaper has exposed again this Obama's gay lover, Larry Sinclair, again, and looks like full-page stuff. And Larry Sinclair says this came out November 26th. That was yesterday. Well, anyhow, it says that Larry Sinclair is going to run for Congress on an anti-Obama ticket. That's the one where he gave fellatio to the president, and they played with cocaine in the back seat of a limo. And I believe the guy. This, you know, Obama, he was a bottom feeder all along. Hello once again, Mr. Metzger. I was just reading about the rat Hal Turner. What a damn disgrace. Just one more white treasonous scum. Why is it so many white people are so damned eager to betray their own folk? Well, don't you know that's the second oldest occupation is in the world, is treason and disloyalty. You got to understand that most people are like children. They never grow up, really. In some ways, maybe they do. Physically, they do. But they, millions of white people are like children. They always have been. And that's what your enemies know. That's what the Jews know. They know that they can be led around by the nose if they approach them the right way, through entertainment or whatever. You know? So betrayal is the second oldest occupation. In fact, it's not even occupation. Most people will do it for free by backbiting and rumoring and so forth. This is the ultimate betrayal for a race, our cause, you know, Mr. Metzger. I was watching that movie Betrayed last night about the woman race trader who gains entrance into the White Power Movement group, similar to the Order. And I guess you can figure out what happens at the end. The FBI rat destroys the movement and so on and so on. Another reason why we're in trouble. Well, she was a Jewess, but it doesn't make too much difference anymore because most white people have the virus of Jew think. Whether they happen to be Jews at all, as far as I'm concerned, if you act like a Jew, talk like a Jew, think like a Jew, you're a Jew. What the hell? Put on your beanie and these Christian Zionists, why do they keep pretending they're something separate from the Jews? Huh? Well, anyhow, too many race traitors who need to be dealt with severely and sooner than later. However, the damage has already been done in most cases. How are we to survive when we have this type of shit amongst us? Well, wait a minute. We've survived for maybe millions of years, and we've always had this shit amongst us. People are sort of childish in a way, thinking, well, way back 100 years, they didn't have these people turning on each other, and they always did. You know, all the way back through Europe and ages, as long as there's been man, there's been traitors and disloyalty. It's just that it's just how you deal with it. If you don't take care of it, well, they do it again. These traitors, whether it's race traitor or whatever kind of traitor, if they get away with it once, they'll do it again. But there has been no collective action or condemnation of these people that get away to do these things. I mean, they're still walking around. When you ask, well, find out where somebody's at, nobody answers you. You know, they don't go out and look. If I said, look for somebody for me in Philadelphia, do you think that I'd get anybody looking for him and report back? Well, here he is, or here she is, and they live so such and such, and this is their address, and this is where they work. No. Because the right wing has never believed in intelligence operations, and that's why they've always been totally manipulated by the enemy. They don't think that way. That's why I have more respect for a lot of the left, even though they have the talent. They most of the time use it wrongly, but they do have the talents. They understand infiltration. They understand radical propaganda, intelligent radical propaganda, and so forth, whereas the average white right-winger is he's just a total target, and he's totally wide open for anyone that wants to get him. You know, like, well, come on, boys, let's go down and demonstrate downtown on the courthouse steps, and we'll show them. Bring your flags, bring your uniforms, bring your cars, bring your license plates with you. Don't leave home without them, you know. And of course, that does the job for the opposition. You don't need the opposition. The opposition doesn't need much except the most of the right-wing leaders. they supply one way or another most of the information that our enemies use. Anyhow, that's the way I look at it. Now, here's another area that I haven't covered, if I can get back to it here. Let's get back to it. Okay, here we go. The largest haul of Anglo-Saxon gold ever discovered, unearthed by a metal detector enthusiast in a farmer's field, has been valued at 3.28 million pounds or 5.5 million bucks. By a committee of experts. The Staffordshire hoard, found by Terry Herbert in central England in July, comprises over 1,500 mainly gold and silver items thought to date back to the 7th century. Under treasure troves and laws, the money will be split between the finder, Herbert, and the landowner, Fred Johnson. The find has been compared in importance to the spectacular Sutton Hoo burial site, a huge ship grave in eastern England excavated 1939. The cache comprises sword hilts, fragments of gold helmets, some elaborate, decorated, and other pieces of weaponry inlaid with precious stones. And I'll put this on NAV. You can go to the Yahoo News thing on it and read about it. Well, here's another area that I haven't talked about and probably should have already. Now, I think you all should have metal detectors, and they're cheap now. You can get a metal detector for $29.95 that'll detect most of what you're looking for. Now, what would stop you from doing the research, because it takes research to try to figure out where something might be, and then get a bunch of your buddies, our people, with metal detectors and go out there and just comb the area, cover it to section by section, foot by foot, and sooner or later coming up with something. If nothing else, it would be good to get you out in the fresh air. But I see no this is a good hobby. It's a good hobby, and there's a lot of people do it. And you're not guaranteed to come up with anything expensive, but then again, you could. You take a lot of the old farms out in the countryside, especially out west. Farmers used to hide their money in quart jars, glass jars, and bury them under the fence posts, usually a corner post in a field. And there's probably still lots of that money laying around out there. And put it in a mason jar and seal it up and put it under the corner posts so they could go back and find it. And you better be learning how to stash your money, too, the way it's going, especially if you got coin or gold bars. Figure a very creative method of hiding your money. And that's a very difficult thing to do, because if you hide the money on somebody else's property, you might come back and it may be a five-story building built on top of your money, or somebody else find it, you know. And burying it on your own property is a risk, because that's where they're going to look for it, your opposition, the feds and so forth. So that's a real difficult thing to decide where to bury your money. So anybody that's got good ideas along those lines, I know that for simple hiding, sometimes you can use your home, but that's not very effective, especially if you have a large amount of money. But anyhow, get yourself a metal detector. And even in the city, there's all kinds of lost money. I used to find money on the playgrounds out in California. I didn't do it all the time, but, you know, a lot of you go down to the beach. People go down to the beach all the time and find all kinds of money. And around swing sets and so forth in parks where kids and adults swing and money change falls out of their pocket. Well, there's money there. And now these coins are getting more valuable for an emergency situation. So there's something to look into. And especially you people say, well, I'm too old, I can't do anything, man, I can barely get around. Well, you take your damn electric cart out there, senior chairs, get yourself a metal detector. Even you can look around, okay? All right. Incidentally, the guy that found the biggest treasure ever found, as far as I know, down in the Caribbean, and his name escapes me like a lot of names escape me. He used to run a little skin diving outfit down in Redondo Beach. No, it was Hermosa Beach. I think it was Redondo Beach in California. And Buddy and I used to go in there all the time, and we could go out on those little excursions to Catalina and dive off the boat. And then later he got into taking crews up to the Mother Lode there in California and dredging for gold. I never got into that. My buddy did. But he found this super cache worth I guess, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars down in the Caribbean. There's plenty of treasure out there. I guarantee you people, you walk over money all the time and don't know it. And I'll bet you in your lifetime you've walked over big amounts of money. And then there's these lost gold mines and so forth. I used to study all that stuff too. The Lost Peg Leg Pete mine down in Arizona. We had some Germans come over and I worked with them for a while. They thought it was down at the bottom of this big reservoir, the Lost Dutchman mine. They thought it was at the bottom of a reservoir over in Arizona. I don't think they ever found it, but they were all loaded for bear when they came over here. And this is a great family thing about treasure hunting. Kids get real excited over that, you know. And if you go out looking for treasure with a metal detector and they get a little bored because they haven't found anything, well, Dad can always drop a coin here and there and keep their enthusiasm up. It's a great family gathering type situation. Dear TT, I think I met you a long time ago. You used to own an appliance store in Fallbrook, California. Well, I did. I owned a TV store. Anyway, I'm a proud white American. I love the lone wolf ideology. I'm currently unemployed and behind on my child support and headed to jail for it, courtesy of the wetback mother of my children. Yes, Tom, I bit into the lie of this polluted nation's ideology that we're all equal. Well, bullshit. Sir, we are all not equal, as I am the new nigger, as per se. I can't get a decent job due to the flux of cheap labor from India, Mexico, Pakistan, the Philippines. My God, it goes on forever. I feel betrayed by the current and past administrations and their Zog-backed bankers and big business partners. I polluted my bloodline with my two daughters of Hispanic descent. Thank God they inherited the Aryan side and claim only to be Americans. I have followed you and the late Pastor Butler's teachings and would like to say thank you for standing up for this lowly white man. Hell, you speak of it like it is in the current climate of subterfuge and Jew lies. You and many like you are only light of truth. God bless you. You have my heart and support always. White power. Yeah, that was from Sean out there in California. T.T., Lou Dobbs was at best a moderate on his third world invader issue. Now that he's looking at running for office, the only issue he had to run successfully on, he's decided to toss asunder. Now Lou has nothing. Good luck, Lou. Well, he does have a Mexican wife. Good luck, Lou, in having your base of millions of viewers turn out and vote for you now. And you'll need luck to get even a few of their votes now, believe me. There seems to be a mental disconnect with Lou. He doesn't seem to realize that people supported him solely because of his stance on the third world invader issue. If Lou does run for president, he'll be lucky to get as many votes as a Socialist Party candidate. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I've got great news. The Paranoid Newsletter, second edition, is off the press. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. A 10-page hotshot special tips security manual from Wolf DC. Here's what we're going to do. We still have issue one. Now we got issue two. So those of you who get right at it and send me an order, send a donation with it, we'll give you both one and two. For those of you who already got one, we'll give you one and two anyhow. You can give one out to your friends. It doesn't have to be a large donation, but a donation that I can send on to Wolf DC, because he put a lot of work into this stuff. So they're hot off the shelf, hot off the printer. Let's get them, man, because if you're not paranoid, you're mentally incompetent. Well, let's see what the first part of Paranoid Newsletter's got to say. Paranoid Newsletter, because they are out to get you. Introduction. This is the second issue of Paranoid Newsletter, The newsletter is for the person who takes their privacy very seriously. Let's face it, America is a police state. Anything the government does not like is now considered terrorism. Today's politicians can pass all kinds of laws that destroy Americans' freedoms because the average citizen is lazy and stupid. Learn to operate under police state conditions and you'll manage to stay under the radar. So it is said that if you know your enemies and know yourself, you can win 100 battles without a single loss. If you only know yourself but not your opponent, you may win or may lose. If you know neither yourself nor your enemy, you will always endanger yourself. Sun Tzu. What good fortune for government that the people do not think. Statement by Adolf Hitler. An oppressive government is more to be feared than a tiger, said Confucius. And then it starts out with fun and facts and thoughts on firearms forensics. And boy, I'll tell you, this is hot, so get them while they're hot, babe. Well, we have a little note on the condition of Mrs. Killen, Ray Killen's wife, that was, of course, one of the freedom fighters in the South, Ray Killen, now doing time. And she fell in their garden and hurt her knee. She had knee surgery, and she's sitting up in a chair now, and they kept her overnight because it might take 48 hours before the feeling comes back. So that's the latest from down south and Mrs. Ray Killen. Ray Killen, of course, was obviously a Klan member back when Klan had some teeth and some balls. Well, I see a 17-year-old mestizo pleaded guilty last week to murdering a Border Patrol agent who was shot 8 times in the head, neck, and torso in the mountains east of San Diego. Christian Daniel Castro Alvarez admitted about the Border Patrol agent incident. The U.S. Attorney's Office said Alvarez said he lured Agent Robert Rosa out of his car on the night of July the 23rd, struggled with him over a firearm, and then Rosa was shot 4 times in the torso. He was found near Campo, California, without a pulse. His Border Patrol issued gun was missing. Well, the agent was Robert Rosas, which is a Mexican killing a Mexican. Well, that's interesting. Well, I see they're screwing the smokers again in New Jersey. They're going to knock off any ability to buy cigarettes off the internet so they can get all the taxes there for the corrupt political machine of New Jersey. Yeah. Well, it looks like that Jew, Jordy Chandler, his father, took old Michael Jackson for $22 million on that deal where Jackson was accused of having sex with him. Well, now Jordy Chandler says he's sorry that that happened, and it was his father shaking down Michael Jackson. So there was $22 million involved. Very interesting. Well, people ask us this all the time about the Khazars and all that stuff. Khazar Jews, Ashkenazis, descendants of the Khazars, a semi-nomadic Turkic tribe from the prairies of Central Asia. Well, they were a pretty big tribe, man, I'll tell you that, who were falsely converted to Judaism. Falsely? How could you be falsely converted to Judaism? In the 8th century A.D., during the Dark Ages, the Khazar Jews wandered into Eastern Europe and the German lands, where Yiddish, mongrelized German, became their tribal tongue. In 1917, they seized power in Russia and captured countless millions. In 1948, they captured Palestine by a campaign of mass murders, relabeled it as Israel, and gained UN recognition by outright bribery and blackmail. The Jewish National Socialism in Palestine has the very same cornerstones at its foundation as the Jewish communism in Russia had. Theft of property and murder of its owners, origin of the Islamic terrorism, are very much the same as were those of the Russian communism. It's the Jews. The Jews and the Jews alone handsomely profited from both. The organized Jews are the most highly organized criminals on earth, who are successfully operating on both sides of the law. Should their monstrous extortion racket in the U.S. ever fail, their kosher apartheid in Palestine would collapse like a house of cards. Ashkenazi, just another fake Khazar Jew label, falsely derived from the Old Testament. Well, let's see what Mr. Beck says about the ADL. Glenn Beck, how about that?
New York, from the Los Angeles Times today. The headline has my name in it, but it's really about you. Who's watching Glenn Beck? And then it goes into the, much like the Depression-era demagogue from Charles, from Father Charles Conklin. I mean, anybody who knows history? Yeah, 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 I'm just like that guy. Fox News is promoting a mass movement. Should his bosses be pulling the plug on him? For nearly a quarter century, the Anti-Defamation League, which has as much to do, I believe, with the plight of the Jewish of the Jewish people as the National Organization of Women has with the plight of women. It is nothing, I believe, nothing but a political organization at this point. And it kills me to say that. I mean, for the love of Pete, name the person that has been more friendly to Israel. Name the person who has spoken out more against the Holocaust deniers that are running Iran. Name the person who has stood up for Israel more than I have. Name the person in the mainstream media that speaks as passionately as I do. Not for some glorified Israel Zionist movement, but because I see the Jewish people as people. And the leaders of Iran as monsters that want to finish the job that Hitler started. You name the media person, Anti-Defamation League.
Well, there you go, fans of Glenn Pecker. These right-wing Republican conservatives actually kiss Israel's ass more than the Democrats. But they're both pretty close. But the Republicans are really... Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, jeez. I'd like to strangle every one of them. Isn't it? It's pathological. It's pathological. How... I'm more pro-Jewish than you are. No, I kiss the Jews' ass more than you do. Oh, no, you don't. I kiss them a lot more than you do. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Well, I do, too. I love the Jews, no matter what they do. Everybody else is screwed up, but not the Jews. Oh, come on, I criticize them more than you do. No, you don't. And for Glenn Pecker, that fat little pudgy pussy, to say anything bad about Father Coughlin of the 30s, he wouldn't even be fit to sweep the floor of Coughlin's office. Well, I gotta admit, this next guy is my holiday hero. My holiday hero. See what you think.
What is it, the drill, I guess you would call it, turkey and all the trimmings tonight, wear out the credit card bright and early tomorrow. That's the routine, of course, for millions of Americans. We do it every year. Black Friday officially kicking off the holiday shopping season now, but our next guest is on a quest, if you will, to get everyone to stop shopping now. We spoke with him last year. He's back, Billy Talon of the Church of Life After Shopping, here again with us this morning. So tell us why, once again, you're basically on a stop shopping day routine.
Well, we celebrate Buy Nothing Day.
But
Black Friday, it changes. It's a miracle to Buy Nothing Day. We urge people to slow down their shopping.
A lot of people are going to buy nothing this year.
Well,
given
sadly,
the economy,
there's a lot of pain and suffering out there.
Yeah.
But some of those people that are jobless and broke, and so many of us, are finding new ways to celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa this year.
You know, there are people out there who'd say the responsible thing to do would be to tell people to go shopping. Go ahead, spend your money. I think the president sort of has suggested that before. Why not tell people in a bad economy, spend your money, get the economy revved up and going again?
I agree with what you just said. It is a bad economy. It can't be a shopping economy. Not 70%. And that's what it's been for the last several years. And that's just not working. We're trying to shop our way out of this economy to a new level of shopping. That's not working. We can't just be a debtor nation anymore. We can't just be full of cheap stuff everywhere, made in sweatshops thousands of miles away, with fossil fuel everywhere, plastics everywhere, and credit cards and everybody in debt. We can't continue that. So we're looking for an alternative.
So what's the relevance, though, really? If you're telling people stop shopping and they've already stopped, what's your point, I guess?
You stop shopping but start giving. That's what the holidays are for. And the good way to do that is to find your gift locally. Walk to your gift this year and buy it there. Buy it from an independent shop on your main street, in your neighborhood, in your community. It's been proven time and time again that we have more prosperity coming back to us with that $5 that we give to a local company.
So you're basically saying we should downsize our shopping, make it smaller, and make it locally. And, well, what's the difference, though, if you're still spending money and you're still buying things to give?
So much of the shopping hype for Black Friday drives us to the big box companies, the chain stores, the big famous logos with their heavy advertising. Local shopping is a much different kettle of fish. That's a sustainable economy, and that's friendlier not only to our own neighborhoods, our working families, but it's also better for the earth. That's what I mean by sustainable. And this year we should give to the earth. It's a good gift to promise. Our father just emailed me and said, I'm promising to change this year. I'm promising my family, and that's my gift. I'm going to weatherize our house.
Well, before we go, I do want to get in something we were just talking about a minute ago. You told me that people may not be shopping this year, but they're planning on going back to their old habits. Talk to me a little bit about that. You think that people's habits haven't been changed for good by this recession?
Some Americans, it seems like we're splitting, some Americans are finding a way to make gifts, to spend time with the family. They're shifting the idea of a gift to having an experience with your loved ones. So they're getting away from the shopping addiction. But many Americans are just receiving the avalanche of advertising and the discounts and all the opportunities.
And Billy Talon, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, I'm not sure whether I got all of that or not. I was looking at my record button here, and I may not have had it on, but the point is this so-called minister is promoting not to buy anything, and I think I'm much more serious about that than he is, that we should buy as little as possible, only what we absolutely need, and buy used equipment and used things and deal off, and also buy off mom-and-pop stores and small business people. And this is correct. The money tends to stay in the community. And, of course, always buy white if possible. So, anyhow, that's the position. And if you don't take it, you're going to be very sorry as time goes on. I'm not sure how much you're going to get out of this clip, but this is a little bit more about not shopping. And it has to do with, I guess they're using this movie, They Lived, as a backdrop for this. So I haven't seen this, so let's see what happens. Here we go. Here we go. That shows the star of that movie, They Lived. With his glasses on, he sees all the Jews. I mean the aliens. But now he's going to see other signs on the screen. Obey. Yeah. Buy, buy, obey, buy, buy. Pretty interesting clip. It's from the movie They Live by John Carpenter, if you've never seen it, where he puts on these glasses It's these big billboards that say show products, and then he puts on the glasses and says, "Obey, buy, buy, obey, buy." No independent thought. Consume. Well, they're tracking it back to the Jews all over the place. Even on regular TV, you're getting some of it. They don't say Jew, but they say Reuben, and how he had to do with repealing the Glass-Steagall Act and deregulation of derivatives market and Citigroup financial collapse. There's always a Jew behind it. It's not going to take forever to more and more people get the message.
When they don't work, when there are things
that
people...
But Matt's ultimate point is that we have all these people that are still perpetuating a policy that is supportive of the banking system.
Jew!
For sure, regardless of who's in there. And an economy that has small business lending off a cliff, profits back at a record on Wall Street.
Jew!
One in seven mortgages delinquent. You know, I can go on and on with the statistics, but basically the American economy was torpedoed, and the financial markets were supported. And the reality, Matt, is it's far more profitable not to lend money in this country.
Yes,
we're giving banks money at a time when the government has set rules that say, you can make more money if we give you money if you don't lend it.
Right, right.
And that is the inherent insanity of the entire situation. It's like giving the banks money, legalizing the banks to make money without having to lend it is like letting the cops create a military state. They're the custodians of wealth or the custodians of security have been completely compromised. You think it's the people around the president that are largely responsible for that, correct?
Jews!
I think so. I mean, you have to remember that probably if you were going to have a Nuremberg financial crisis, Bob Rubin would be one of the first people on the dock. I mean, yep. he has a unique responsibility for what went wrong because he was not only responsible for the bad policy, deregulatory policy under Clinton, but he also helped destroy one of the biggest companies in the world, in Citigroup, and yet he was the guy who was put in charge and his people of being the architect of Clinton's economic policy.
I think he's got a great point. And I was a Rubin. I mean, listen, Bob Rubin is incredibly, obviously, very accomplished, intelligent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they had an idea, which was we will create a hyper-efficient system. We will create the most efficient financial system in the history of the world. As long as it doesn't collapse, we won't have a problem. But it's like an efficient sports car. It goes around the track real fast, and then it blows into the wall. But if you're able to bail out and give the crash to the taxpayer.
I just think we need to be careful because Bob Rubin isn't in the White House right now. And, the big bailout of Wall Street, we have to really be clear, wasn't Obama's bailout. The bailout of Wall Street
Understood.
Was Hank Paulson's bailout. It happened under a Bush presidency. It was last year.
Don't jump on the Jews.
Last year.
And that's
but there's also no question that the decision
Nazi. You're a Nazi.
Every step of the way.
Obama's choice to keep him, but it wasn't Obama's White House.
Let him finish. Go ahead, Matt.
Obama got elected on the day after he got elected, he put two Citigroup executives in charge of the economic transition team, especially Froman. 2 weeks later, they do a gigantic bailout of Citigroup. And that very same day, those Citigroup executives hired Tim Geithner to be the Treasury Secretary. I mean,
I would say Tim Geithner, as the head of the New York Federal Reserve since 2003, as the bank regulator in New York over these banks, at a time when the banks are accumulating leverage, at a time when the swaps market is continuing to get crazier and crazier, believe implicitly or explicitly that type of modeling is somehow good for America. Over a period of years.
Don't get me wrong. I've written a piece about how the guys at Goldman Sachs think that they are Ayn Rand characters.
Yep.
But I just think we have to be careful to get our facts right. So, for example, if we talk about Citigroup, these actions were taken when Obama was not yet in office. And I think one of the original sins about the financial bailout was there should have been more strings attached. If you look at the strings that Warren Buffett attached to the money that he lent to Goldman Sachs, he got a better deal than the U.S. Treasury
But to allow the continued funding of the banks under the counsel of the Obama advisory team and not come out with a windfall profits tax to take back the profits that are being made this year and all the bank CEO compensation for the past 10
years because those people were paying themselves to accumulate risk that they couldn't accumulate because they legalized doing that. And the fact of the matter is, and I think Matt's onto something, is there's a good question to be asked, which is, why is it we're not seeing a windfall profits tax? Why is it we're not seeing a restoration of the rules of lending and investing? And the question you're asking...
We've got more now in tonight's breaking news. Right now, a very gossipy but also potentially frightening mystery happening in Washington. Had a couple of aspiring stars of the reality show The Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. get into last night's White House state dinner even though they weren't invited. Here they are right now posing. You can see they're pictured with top White House officials. They posted these pictures of themselves on Facebook. So how did they get in and get past all the security? Is this a major security breach we're talking about? We have joining us right now Roxanne Roberts, who is the Washington Post reliable source columnist and just broke this story. She is on the telephone with us, also CNN national security contributor. Oh, no, Roxanne, we have you in person.
Barely, but I'm
I know, you barely made it. Yeah. Also with us on the phone is CNN national security contributor Fran Townsend, who worked at the White House, of course, with the Bush administration. Roxanne, let me start with you on all this. You talked to the White House about this breach. What is their explanation?
Well, at first they basically didn't have an explanation other to say that somehow these people did in fact get through, but we didn't know why. Just a few minutes ago, the reason I'm late is that the Secret Service said there was a breach. They did a preliminary investigation today, and one of the Secret Service checkpoints did not properly determine that these people were on the invited guest list, and then they got through. Now, we do need to say that they didn't have any weapons on them. They had to go through the magnetometers and all the physical things that would prevent them from being a risk. But nonetheless, we've got two people who show up at the White House and essentially walk in.
Well, and you said a breach at one of the security checkpoints.
Right.
I mean, you've been a Washingtonian for a very long time. I'm sure you've been to a few events at the White House. There's more than one checkpoint you got to go through, right?
Usually, what's interesting here is that you've got this very elegant, formal affair. These people were dressed as if they were guests. There were a lot of guests arriving at the same time. And what they probably did is say something like, oh, there must be some mistake. My name's not on the list. And they were somehow able to get... Typically what happens is that if you're a guest at the White House, in advance you have to provide your Social Security number, your date of birth. All that's pre-cleared so that when you show up, all you have to do is show your identification. They check that, and then you go through the physical magnetometers and checks. In this case, they probably said the most likely thing is that, oh, there must be some mistake. I'm not on this list. And somehow, somebody at the White House decided after they looked at their ID that it was all right for them to go in.
And Roxanne, I know you've been doing a little digging on just who this couple is. What can you tell us about them?
They are reality show people, which is what's so... What was
that says it all.
Well, so much for security, right? I guess the book the guy wrote about the Secret Service is in shambles is made pretty clear here. This I know Wolf D.C. is going to be laughing his ass off at this one. Shows that really there's not a lot of security. Sometimes it's spotty. Sometimes security is real good. Sometimes it's lousy. And, of course, that's the worst kind of security, the kind that changes every day. Yeah, so... So somebody wanted to go up and see Super Nigger. They just walked in. How about that? Well, with all the minority hiring, putting blacks into the Secret Service, I wonder who was on the gate that screwed up. We'll probably never know. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. Freya's Day. Hey, this is a day. This evening, if you didn't take your wife or girlfriend out yesterday for Thanksgiving, well, Friday or Saturday night, get her out there, get her out of the kitchen. Come on, boys, take her dancing, take her skiing, take her skydiving, take her bungee jumping, take her mud wrestling, whatever yanks your crank, man. This is Terrible Tommy signing off, and we'll be back tomorrow, Saturn's Day, and I hope you're enjoying our Marathon Insurgent Radio Broadcasting going on right now. We had a little glitch here a few minutes ago because when I'm doing the show, I can't hear the, I have to turn the monitor down. So I didn't know I was off, I wasn't streaming there for a little while. So anyhow, if you go up to podblank.com, Tom Metzger, we're going to be sending out a show, archive shows, probably all night long, all into the wee hours, into the morning. How about that? Okay, 14-5, baby. And don't forget, support the insurgents, support it, and also podblank.com, Craig Cobb. Yeah, do that, and also get in your little donations, and I'll send you another Ghost Wolf security issue, all right? Bye-bye.